If you ever imagined being crowned king or queen when you were a kid, I bet the coronation ceremony you imagined was nothing like the one that Jesus had. Jesus, you see, was crowned with thorns that pierced into his head, causing great pain. Rather than being praised and lauded as he took his kingship, he was mocked and scorned. Rather than being sat on a great throne, he was nailed to a cross. Not exactly the coronation ceremony that we would have chosen for ourselves, but it was the one that Jesus chose, that Jesus accepted, because he came to be king, not according to the worldly order of things, but according to the divine order. And the one who loves the most is the one who reigns in the end. The one who gives the most is the one who will receive the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So we celebrate Christ the King, and we look to his crucifixion as his great coronation. Now, Christ is a king, and just want to kind of tie a couple things together. How strange that was, right, that coronation. Remember how strange it was at the beginning of his life when these three wise men came from the east, and they came to adore the newborn king. Again, in the strangest of places, right? In a cattle shed or a cave, laid in the trough, wrapped up in rags, this newborn king that they came to adore, these foreigners. And then at the cross, wasn't it another foreigner who finally recognizes who Jesus is? Truly, one of the centurions says, this is the Son of God. So Jesus came in a totally different way, totally different order than the kings of this world. In this, he is revealed not as an earthly king, but as the divine king, right? He's not a human king. He is God, the creator of the universe, the Lord of all. And he is worthy. He is worthy of our subjugation, we could say, right? To be his subjects. But even more, what he wants, he doesn't want slaves, right? He wants people to love him, to give him their hearts. He wants adoration. Okay? Again, that's what the three wise men said. Come, let us adore. Let us adore him. Adoration is what God deserves. Okay, so I'm going to talk today about adoration. And in fact, this is a theme that Father Peter and I decided we're going to carry through till Christmas here, this theme of adoration. So today is just going to be a really kind of practical, just an overview here. So what is adoration, right? Adoration, just as a general concept, is like having a loving disposition towards God, right? When we say something is adorable, we're saying that it's worthy of all of our attention, right? In adoration towards God, we're saying that he deserves all of my attention, all of my love. It's having a loving disposition towards him, giving him the homage that is his due. That's adoration. And in fact, adoration is fulfilling our highest capacity as human beings. Think about that. Adoring God is our highest capacity as human beings. Think of it this way. If someone says, well, I love this ant, okay? We would probably think there's something a little bit off about them, right? And you say, well, you mean like that ant is like, you know, you find it a curiosity and you like watching it? And they say, no, I love it. Like, I really love it. We'd be like, okay, there's something wrong here. Because the true love is towards something that is of our same nature, something that is of our equal, right? But if we say that we can love God, well, God is not of my nature. God is not my equal. And yet God has made us capable of loving him. What? It's amazing. God has made us capable of truly sharing love for him and receiving his love. So adoration, giving him the love that is his due, is fulfilling our highest capacity as human beings. Okay? So why would we adore? Right? We adore because God deserves it, right? Because he is worthy. He is worthy of all of our love. We adore also because it turns upside down the effects of original sin. The effects of original sin that make me turn inward toward myself, make me focus on me, make me make myself the most important. Right? All of these effects of original sin, when we spend time adoring God, right, we are battling directly against that selfishness that comes from our fallen nature. So it's good for us. It's a remedy for us and for our souls. We adore because it's good for us. Okay? It's also, just in a practical way, it's good for us to get away from all of the noise, all of the stuff, all of the anxieties, all of the worries that just constantly bombard us. If you have kids, you already know how many days it is till it's Christmas, and you already know how many things you want to get accomplished, right? Why do we do this to ourselves, right? It's not because God asks us. It's the world that asks us that. So when we go to be with the Lord, to adore, we're with him. We can set all of that aside to be with the one that loves us perfectly and is worthy of all of our love. We go to adore to encounter God. And when we encounter God, we encounter ourselves more deeply. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why we don't like silent prayer so much, because we come face to face with ourselves. But remember, when God allows us to discover who we are, right, he's doing so in a loving way. He might point out some of the ways that he wants us to change. He does it because he loves us, and he's going to give us the grace to change, and there's going to be joy that comes from that, and so on. So we encounter God, we encounter ourselves, and the more we do this, the more we adore him, the more we are able to love as we ought to love others, okay? So it's not, and just an escape, it's not just something selfish for me. The more I am exposed to the Lord in adoration, the more I'm going to be able to share his love and to love as he loves. I become more like him, all right? So that's adoration just as a general concept, right? It's what we're made for as human beings, and it makes us more like who we were made to be. Okay. Now, Eucharistic adoration, more specifically. What is Eucharistic adoration? Well, Eucharistic adoration is adoring God who is present in the Blessed Sacrament, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, the King of the universe, the Creator of all. Okay, I could go on, but I won't. So, he too, he is worthy of all of our love. Eucharistic adoration is recognizing that he is here and lovingly putting our attention on him. Okay, Eucharistic adoration has two forms. You're doing it right now if you're looking past me, okay? So to Jesus, who's present in the tabernacle, right? So anytime you pass a Catholic church, right? If it's open, you can pop in. You can spend some time adoring Jesus present in the tabernacle. There's another form of Eucharistic adoration that's called exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Okay, that's when we bring Jesus out of the tabernacle, put him in what's called a monstrance, and we're able to gaze upon the sacred host, okay, which promotes even more intimacy. Father Peter described it one time as, you know, when you drive past your friend's house, well, you know they're in there, okay, but when they're sitting on the front porch, you got to stop and you got to go say hi, right? So that's what it is. Jesus is here, you know. He comes out to meet us. So that's the other form of Eucharistic adoration. I suppose we should add the third one, which is at the Mass, right? Behold, the Lamb of God. We're adoring Jesus the Lord, okay? So a lot of people ask, well, how do I spend time in Eucharistic adoration, right? There's so many answers to this. And the first thing I would recommend that you do in adoration is say, Jesus, I don't know how to do this, okay? And so you have to show me, right? He loves that, right? He loves to lead us rather than us come with our own agenda and say, I know what I need to do here. So we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We say, Jesus, I don't know how to do this. Guide me through this time. Some things you can do during a time of Eucharistic adoration. You can read the scriptures, God's word. You can spend some time in spiritual reading, the saints' reflections on what God has done in their lives and what God can do in yours. You can pray the rosary, meditating on the great events of the life of Jesus and asking Mary for her intercession. You can journal. Just try to discover your inner thoughts and in a prayerful way, share them with the Lord by writing them down. You can just have a heart-to-heart with your friend, Jesus, who came not to call us slaves, but to call us friends, right? Just share what's on your heart with him and listen for his loving response. You can waste time with the Lord, okay, in wonder and awe. It's called contemplation. I might have shared this with you before, but one of my friends in seminary would say, hey, Rob, do you want to hang out? And he would say, well, what do you want to hang out about? Okay, it's like, no, we just want to hang out, right? We're not here to accomplish something because we're friends, right? We enjoy being in each other's company. That's what it is with Jesus. We don't need to accomplish anything, right? We can waste time with him in a loving sharing of our hearts. Okay, another recommendation perhaps to use the different forms of prayer. Let's say you go in for a holy hour, an hour of prayer in Eucharistic adoration. You can use this acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S. Okay, ACTS. A stands for adoration, right? So I'm lovingly gazing upon Jesus, telling him how great he is, praising him, telling him that what I recognize of his goodness manifest in my life. So a time of adoration, okay? C is contrition, okay? Recognizing that I have not lived as I ought to, knowing how much love that he has shown to me, right? I have fumbled the ball numerous times, right? Since the last time I saw you, Lord. And I want to beg your forgiveness. I'm sorry for it, okay? So adoration, contrition. T is what we're doing on Thursday, okay? Thanksgiving, all right? Just praising him for his goodness, thanking him for things big and small in my life, thanking him for all the things that went wrong this week because somehow God's making me a better person or bringing some good out of it, right? Everything, we can thank him for it, okay? Adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and S is for supplication, okay? That's a big word for asking for stuff, okay? Asking for stuff for all the people I know that are going through tough times, those who are sick, those who need help, those who've lost their way, asking for things that I desire in my life, okay? So supplication for others, for myself. Adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. You take 15 minutes for each of those, okay? And your hour will go by really wonderfully and fast, okay? So there's so many things you can do in Eucharistic adoration. Pray as you can, not as you can't, okay? So pray in the way that you feel the Lord asks you to. Questions that people frequently ask, how do I sign up for Eucharistic adoration? Well, you can get to it through the website. You can email me or you can call a parish office, okay? That's how you sign up for a specific hour of adoration. Do I have to stay for an hour? No. You can stay a lot longer if you want, okay? You can stay as long as you want, all right? But you can also pop in for 5 minutes. You can pop in for 10 minutes. So many people have said to me, oh, I signed up for an hour and I wasn't sure how it's going to go. But it went by like that, right? It's because we're in the presence of the most interesting person ever, the creator of the universe, okay? So the time's going to fly by, okay? So don't be afraid. But if you only have a few minutes, the Lord is happy with that, okay? So as long as you want. When can I go? Well, our chapel is open every day from 5 a.m. until 10 p.m. And if you're a night owl or if you get out of work at 10 p.m. and you want to stop in there, then just call the parish office. We'll give you a code so that you can get in any time of the night, okay? So you can go anytime. Sometimes even, I mean, many times when the church is locked, the chapel is still going to be open, okay? Can I invite my non-Catholic friends to come with me? Of course you can, okay? Might want to tell them a little bit about what's happening, but yes, it's a beautiful place to invite someone to pray with you. Can I talk in the chapel? Well, of course, you're talking to God, right? If someone else is there, you probably don't want to talk to God out loud, okay? So just remember, we're keeping a prayerful space so that anyone can come to encounter the Lord. But I think we understand, right, when we come into his presence, how we are to act. So anyway, that's my little rudimentary teaching for today to get us ready as we journey through Advent, right? Let's just imagine we're going with the Magi. Come, let us adore, right? We want to adore the King, the newborn King, the one who has made his dwelling among us, the one who was crowned on the cross, who accepted that strange form of becoming king because he loves you. So come, let us adore him.